Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Gallant View on the usual Sunday night at 8:30 slot. My name's Colm McDuff, and I'm delighted to be back in the hosting seat after a wee week off where I was on holiday. Many people debate what's worse coming back from holiday. Is it coming back to the poor weather, having a day or the washings, having to go to work? But I'd argue that having to watch Rangers again live in a Sunday afternoon probably sobers you up more than most things. Here to run through a 3 points, a 3 points type day in Paisley. First of all, it's Scotty Mack. How are you?
Aye, not bad, Colin. Not bad at all. I think that's the best way to sum it up. Nice and positive so far. But that's all you can say about it. Just 3 points and up the road.
That's it. But having said that, five more of them probably see us get a treble. So the heavy cloud has a silver lining. Also joining us, making that a trio tonight, is Bill. How are you, my friend?
Very well, Colin. Aye, thank you. As Scotty said, 3 points and up the road. That's all you can really ask for. I did think we were marginally better today than we were in our previous two league outings. So that was definitely something. A bit of comical defending and whatnot, but I'm sure we'll get into it. But thanks for having me on tonight.
Pleasure is all mine. And last, by no means at least, the most important folk on the live stream is the listeners. Already seeing all the comments coming in, you never feel to disappoint. So thank you all for watching and for listening and watching after the fact. If you're listening elsewhere, get your comments in on today and let us know what you think. I'm sure there's a few discussion points. So, Scott, I do kind of want to break the performance and the team down section by section. Let's start for the back. All great Rangers side start for the back, and so did the poor ones. The defence today, Super Jack Butland definitely kept his in at half time, the first half, sorry. Leon Balogun kept his space in the centre of defence alongside John Souter. We had Bonner Barisic coming in and James Tavernier in the other side. What was your thoughts in probably the first half, more so in the defence? The reason I want it, and I don't want to single anybody out, I thought collectively they were quite poor, but even Leon Balogun giving that goal away when he cut, he's been brought in to do the basics well and do the bread and butter of a centre-half, and then he lets that kind of go. What was your take on the defenders today?
I think the defence had the game it did because there was no control in the middle of the park, Colin, to be brutally honest with you, mate. I think the lack of balance between Lundstrom and Diamande, even though they looked back to a bit of unity last week in a semi-final. It was really, really poor today. Obviously, Barlin's got to do better for the goal, right, granted. But the team wasn't solid enough, which allowed St Mirren to press as high up the park, reverted to long balls. It was just, there's not many positives you can take for the game today other than the 3 points. I've been Mr. Negative on the pods the last kind of week and a bit about Rangers, so I'm trying to kind of keep a lid on it. No doubt it'll come out at some point, but Suter and Balogun are all right to bat together, but I think I would probably prefer Golton and Balogun to beat it back, because I think with their relationship that they've already got for being together under Steven Gerrard, I think you need to go with it, you know, and Golton and Balogun are what we know, to be brutally honest. So Suter's got he's got an error or two in him every now and again. But I do think that the balance in midfield today, I mean, you've even seen Cantwell drop him deep for a good bit of the game to try and gain some composure on the ball. So the composure on the ball wasn't there today, to be brutally honest. And most of St Mirren's attacks, they were getting joyed on the right-hand side. I thought Bonner, fairly solid 6 out of 10 a day, 6 or 7, I would say. I thought, didn't think he was the worst player in the park. But that's what it is, we've got to win.
Bill, I do think Scott does make a good point on the midfield. You can't look at the team in isolation. They are all connected. And I find there is a point in the lack of energy in the midfield, which we will come to when we get to them. But on the defence, I do find there was a lack of urgency from them as well throughout. And Scott's right. I find Bonner Bassett was probably the most reliable defender we had on the day. Obviously, both fullbacks were involved in the goals. You need to give credit where credit's due. I'm going to give Leon Balogun the benefit of the doubt that he's been out in the cold for so long. He does have to do better. Other than that, he's not really put a foot wrong the last couple of weeks, I don't think. What was your take on the back four?
I said, I think on the Daily News through the week, I said I thought that Borna Barisic had played his last game in a Rangers jersey and was really quite surprised to see him starting today, especially I think he'd get subbed off either against Dundee or Ross County. I can't remember, he'd been subbed off, I think, at half-time. So I was quite surprised that he played today. But he didn't put a foot wrong as far as I was concerned. I thought he was okay pretty much right up until he came off. And I was quite surprised by that, because he was okay defensively, didn't give away much, and he got forward a few times. He played a couple of good balls over the top to Silva and to run onto. So I was actually quite pleased with what I saw from Barisic today. You said lack of urgency. I thought that was all through the team. Balogun, just to touch on him, I thought it was no bad. Like, the goal that we lost, it's just a case of he's been out-muscled and he'll just get them now and again. I'm not going to be hugely critical of him for it. He should be doing better, but, you know, sometimes you just get them. I think you have to give credit to the boy. I kind of remember his name now, and I think it's begins with an M, whatever the St. Mirren player's name was, that scored. But he's still got a lot to do, even though he's muscled Balogun out of the way. He's still got a lot to do, and he does tremendously well to score with that, because it's a nothing chance. It's just a sort of floated ball in. He's got to generate all the power on the header and position it correctly. So I think you have to give him huge credit. Suter, I thought, was okay. And I thought there were moments where Suter and Balogun both sort of strode out of defence a wee bit with the ball and came forward with it, and did look to maybe show a wee bit of urgency, but then nothing was really happening once they got the ball into midfield. You know, so the times when they tried to show some urgency, the midfield weren't. And I think that was what we were really suffering from today, was no urgency, no real intensity. We did have a couple of short spells where we were sort of hemming St Mirren in, but for the most part it was about urgency and intensity. The last sort of cog in the back row of Tav, I don't know. I was screaming at him in less than a minute, because we did that kind of ball through and Tav completely switched off and allowed the boy through on goal. And we seem to have, we've done that in each of our last three league games, conceded a chance within the first minute. And, you know, it. In fact, I think that's our last four league games now, because we did it Celtic, Ross County, Dundee, St Mirren. We've allowed the opposition through on goal within the first minute. And that could quite have easily have been us 1-0 down today, and it would have been completely Tad's fault because he'd switched off. I think after that, he played okay. There was moments where he was getting forward and looked all right on the ball and kind of created a couple of chances and stuff. Nobody was at their sparkling best today, let's say that. But I don't think the back four were terrible. I just think they had a few lapses in concentration, a few errors. We're lucky it didn't cost us more than just the one goal today, probably, is what I'll say.
I think that level of performance for a unit within the team, you can almost get away with that. So, for example, if the midfield are just on it and they're doing what they may be doing, and the strikers are, the forward three are doing, you know, playing with a bit of fluidity and there's a connection between the midfield, you can afford the back four to almost just pass through the game, and almost like you could afford the strikers to maybe not be on it if the rest of the team are on it. But as you say, no one was really at their free flown best at all today, either individually or as a collective. You know, there's only so many you can carry. Just before I move on to the next point, Bill, Scott touched on it around Golson coming back in with Balogun. What's your? I've just put a poll up for the YouTube listeners. What the centre back pairing would be next Sunday, and Balogun and Souter are winning with 50% of the vote, with Balogun and Golson getting 40%. Only two or three vote Golson and Souter. Two or three voters, that is. I'd be loath to change it. I think we're going to see the left back position changing a fair bit over the next few weeks. I think you just need to try and build a bit of momentum in the defence. I'd be looking at Balogun and Souter. Would you be with Scott and Balogun and Golson, or maybe Golson and Souter? Who knows?
excuse me. Oh.
That's a public announcement clear in the throat right there, right?
No, I just got I'm still recovering from strep throat, which I had about a month ago. I'm still getting quite a thickly throat all the time. Sorry, listeners. You didn't need to hear that. Yeah, I don't know. Possibly bringing Golson back in over Souter. Teddy Bear's just saying in the comments that both have been brought in. I don't know. I think Goldson's form certainly took a nosedive. But maybe my thoughts are that a couple of weeks out of the team would help that, and he'll play better once we bring him back in. I don't think Souter's been woeful. He's not been terrible. You know, he's not been great, but has he done enough to get himself dropped, do we think? Or equally, has he done enough to keep his place in the team? I'm not going to sit on the fence, so I will say that if it was me, I'd be going for Balogun and Souter together, but I don't think there's much in it, to be honest, whether it's those two or whether it's Balogun and Golson. I probably don't want to see Golson and Souter next week together.
No, I think we probably all three of us agree on that. And Smoke Madol makes a good point that Dom Golson should put the fear into the rest of the squad. If that fear's there, it's not shown in the pitch just yet. Scott, you were the first person to touch on it. You made a real good point about the cliche alert, like the midfield is the heartbeat of any winning team, and any decent performance in any game will have to have a semi-decent midfield. They just weren't there at all today as a unit. What do you put that down to? Is it too simple to say there's just a lack of energy, or is it more than that?
I think it's down to not having a presence in midfield. Now, that might sound a wee bit silly, because you think John Lundstrom has a presence in the middle of the park, but you know what Diamondi is, right? He's going to transition the ball forward. He's very, very good going forward. He can be strong in the tackle. I think we need to build a team around this guy in the summer. I think you need to make Diamondi your main player. I think he's a great prospect going forward. But in terms of Lundstrom, I don't know. He played today like a guy that's signed a pre-contract in Turkey, if I'm being brutally honest with you, Colin. He wasn't there, he never turned up. Last Sunday he did turn up in the cup semi and he was kind of playing with that swagger again. He looks as if he had a bit of freedom. And St Mirren is a tight pitch, but see when your number 10's got to do a Barry Ferguson and drop deep to get a ball to try to create things and show a wee bit of composure. I mean, there was one spell in the second half where I was looking at Lundstrom and it was any time he got a ball, back to centre-backs. He wasn't whipping it round the corner, he wasn't driving forward to it. Diamondi tried to play a 1-2 with him and he gave it a Bonner. And you're watching it and you're like, what are you doing, mate? Come on, like, get your head up, drive us forward. We've seen it for the past 3 months, how good it can be. But has he really shown his kind of his true colours now that he still has that inconsistency in his game? I think it's fair to say that he's Lundstrom's boy. He's Clement's boy. Clement really, really leans on him, loves the guy to bits. And I don't know how true these reports are about Trabzonspor, but you're just watching him and he's either tired or his head's gone and his head's elsewhere. I don't know. I'm not just singling out Lundstrom for it. It can be aimed at the whole squad because even when Tom Wants come on recently, you're looking at him and you're going, he's not even got a flash of quality about him. Fine, he did today and he missed that chance in the last minute, but you're watching it and you're wanting somebody to grab it and lead it. And I think Cantwell's trying to do that, to be fair to him. I think second half, Cantwell really, really come on to a match. In terms of midfield, I don't know what you do. The only thing I think you do to fix it is putting Sterling in it. So I think Sterling ticks all your boxes in terms of what you're looking for. You've got physicality back in the middle of the park. He's a runner. He's got everything in his game, man. He's just a tremendous football player. So I would, if Sterling can come in and keep this goal quiet against Real Betis at half-time, he's more than capable of doing a job against St Mirren. I think Lundstrom needs dropped going forward for me.
Aye, and like, I'm not going to rewrite history. The long-term listeners know that there's been historic battles between me and David Tomlinson on the Lundstrom debate. I'm a long-term fan. I'm no surprised that in these performances, Lundstrom has never been the most athletic, the fittest. And what we're seeing is, like, obviously, poor form as well, but that coupled with he's beginning to look burnt out, and he's always been that. He was never a 50 game a season player for Sheffield United.
100%,
and the issue has been, like, how often did we rely on him? Because there's no been, and I do sympathise with the manager, because you're looking at, you've got Nico Rashin, you've got Kieran Darrell, you've got the ghost of Ryan Jack. Like, who comes in for John Lundstrom? And Dujon Sterling is the answer to several problems, but he can only answer one problem. It's difficult. Bill, I've probably done a wee bit of a 180 on Sterling coming in the midfield, because I don't think he has finessed on the ball. He doesn't have the range of passing that, say, Diomande or Lundstrom does. But given the way the midfield is playing, Lundstrom in this current form isn't using his full range of passing. So I'm starting to warm to putting Sterling in with maybe a Diomande or Cantwell in front of him, or Lawrence, just to bring that energy back. Because again, if we have energy as a bare minimum, it's a good place to build from.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know, though, what the manager's to do. He's obviously seen all these guys at training. But we've also got Nico Raskin sat there, who I thought could have come in to take Lundstrom at the team. Because Lundstrom, there's a few games now where he's been quite poor. Today wasn't his worst game. I think he did have a couple of goals at driving us forward. He actually had a couple of chances and a couple of shots on goal and was unlucky not to score. But we've seen him much, much, much better than that. You know, we've seen the dynamic John Lundstrom that gets the head up, that passes, that drives us forward. And you're right, he's no use in his full range of passing. And I like Sterling. I liked him in midfield, as Scott said. You know, that game against Betis, he was just absolutely brilliant. But I don't know that he's necessarily the answer either to this particular problem. And the manager seems to be preferring him either on the wing or at full back, although he was playing him in midfield to begin with, I guess. So it's interesting. I don't know what the problem with Raskin is. I don't know why he's not really featuring. Obviously, the manager's watching him in training and either isn't seeing enough, or I don't know, is he maybe just not full fitness or something like that? It's difficult to say. And the manager either doesn't really seem to get asked about it, or I've no heard him being asked about it. I don't know, personally, if it was me, without knowing more about what goes on in training, I'd like to see Raskin getting a goal in the middle of the park. I think he's shown that he can be that kind of player. Certainly, you know, his first couple of months here under Beal, he looked that kind of player. I thought he was going to be the future of the Rangers midfield with Lundstrom on. He's not quite the same player as John Lundstrom. He does different things, but he can do a lot of similar things as well. But as Scotty said, I think the manager seems to really like Lundstrom. And the previous two managers have been like that as well, where Lundstrom basically was in the team every week. And is it part of, you know, he's played so many games for us, as he moved on out, you know, I wonder if that's what the problem with Lundstrom is.
Scott, would you have any confidence in a Tom Lawrence coming in here in midfield, or Nico Raskin, or anybody other than Sterling?
Probably Raskin. I think Raskin and Diamondi could maybe forge a bit of a partnership. I've been a wee bit critical of Raskin the last couple of months. I done an article on him for the Gallant View Journal group and kind of laid into him, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. I mean, players, that's also the thing that could be wrong with the standard in the squad just now, is when one of Clement's leaders on the at it, aye, all right, he's got off bit with bringing Balogun in for Goldson, but he's not got anybody to replace Lundstrom with. And I think it was quite evident Lundstrom was slow in the play during the day, along with the rest of the kind of back four. The only ones that were trying to make it happen for me were Campbell and Diamandi, kind of first half. Sterling out in the right wing's just a waste. It's a complete and utter waste of the guy, because he's can do a bit of running. And you know what, Colin, I could maybe understand it a bit more if Sterling was rotating with Tav and Tav was getting further forward and Sterling was dropping back. See, like Whittaker and Hutton used to do.
No.
That's when it would work. And why are we not pushing Tav further up the park when we know how good Tav is going forward, and how we're not getting Sterling that wee chance at right back? Is that worth a chat about? But in terms of midfield, I would probably bring Raskin in, but I think we all know it's not going to happen. Lundstrom's going to start like the next five matches of the season, and that's just the end of it. Whether he's signed a pre-contract or not, I think he's going to be professional enough to try. But he's a big part in how we play, essentially. And when Lundstrom's going forward with the ball, and I mean, there was a clip I caught a week back when people were playing somebody at Ibrox and they get a ball and they charge through it. The whole opposition midfield and drove us forward. That's what we need. We don't need somebody to sit and play Bilbo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Probably Raskin, I would say, mate.
It is difficult because at the squeaky bum time of the season, when there's only four games left in the league, how much do you gamble? How much do you stick a twist? Bear in mind that we're gambling with bringing Leon Balogun back in. There's probably gambles that we need to play in the wings, because we have the square root of fuck all options with Mitondo and Seema being out.
I think we also need to remember as well, but Colin, is we've got five goals to make up on Celtic, and we don't look at like a team that can come out and scalp somebody just now. That's what I really wanted off this team today, go and lay a marker down. And the boys in the Rangers Journal chat were telling me like, we've never been able to do that against St Mirren away from him, but we need to do it against somebody. Do you know what I mean? Somebody needs a scalping off as if we're going to win this league ultimately. It's just how it's got to be.
Quite poetic. I'm looking to go on to my next point, and Scott brings up we need goals. Goals and decimals is like ham and cheese, Bill. Let's put a wee bit of positivity on the pod, because we did win today. The favours are all a wee bit doom and gloom. We did win. And to just in the side of balance, I'm not going to tell the listeners they seen something different from what they watched. It was a poor performance, but St Mirren is quite a tough place to go. I can't even remember Rangers going there and playing really, really well. Traditionally, it's been a hard-fought win, or, you know, we've got points even. Cyril Dessers, he puts pressure on for the first goal, forces the own goal just by being in the right place, and then Rangers are a bit fortunate for the second goal, as the goalkeeper and centre half collide with each other, but he's there to tap it in. Rangers don't get that 3 points without the big man today.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's 20 for the season, isn't it? So, you know, when people talk about a 20-goal striker, I think Dessers has got that now. I don't know, like, I think Dessers must be on 50 games for Rangers. And 20 goals, that's an okay return, you know. But it's sometimes with Dessers, it's about the eye test, you know, and it's about the chances that he misses. It's the way that he takes the ball on and then loses it clumsily. It's the number of times he's been offside, which he's not been doing as much recently. And, you know, ultimately, it's about those chances that he doesn't put away. When you watch him, he misses sitter after sitter. With the number of chances, if he was really clinical this season, he could have had 40 goals, you know, but and you accept that, okay, he's not that clinical or whatever, but I would like to see us having somebody a wee bit more clinical. But you're right, we don't win that game without him today. But I think what was the helping today and where we were better against Hearts is that against Hearts, Cantwell was getting closer to Dessers and supporting him a bit more. I like Cantwell seeing that space between the opposition midfield and defence, you know, getting the ball in, turning, playing it through or whatever, supporting Dessers. But Scott, you touched on Cantwell dropping deep today, and like four or five times in the first half, I saw him back level with the two centre halves, picking up the ball off of them. And I know he's keen to get on the ball, but he needs to be higher up, he needs to be further forward, he needs to get in there supporting the striker. Because a lot of the times we were just ending up playing that long ball over the top. And I have seen Dessers do that okay, take the ball in and either turn or bring other players into the game. But he's no just the most reliable at it. It's no, he's, I don't think it's his biggest strength. Again, he's okay at it, but you know what? I think we lose possession a lot from that when we play that long ball. And Dessers gets it maybe sort of 3 out of 5 times he'll no retain possession for us. So, yeah, without him, we don't win today, but he was in the right place at the right time. But what you said about going to, I was going to call it Love Street, whatever St Mirren's ground is now called, the Smyser Stadium, isn't it? Going there is, it was difficult, and fair play to St Mirren today. Like, straight for the off, they were aggressive, they were in Rangers' faces. They looked as if they wanted it, and I messaged you guys on the group chat and said, something along the lines of, you know, St Mirren really look up for us today. And, you know, Charles is saying in the comments there about Gogic, we might touch on him. I actually thought Alex Gogic was a shout for man of the match today because he was everywhere. He was brilliant. And, you know, I've always liked him as a player. I think a lot of, you know, he's not got like the best footballing ability. He's not an amazing technical player, but it's his attitude, it's his aggression, it's where he sees things and he gets himself involved in the game. He destroys things for the opposition a lot of the time, you know, and I thought he was really good today. But I thought their whole team played pretty well. They played as a unit, they pressed as well, you know, they harried their defence at the right times. They didn't just, because I think a thing that we're guilty of is Dessers goes and presses and everybody else just sort of stays where they are. And St Mirren pressed as a unit today. When they were pressing, they all went. You know, and but there was a couple of moments where we had the ball in defense.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And so we were playing it between the four defenders and maybe Lundstrom was coming back and getting a shot of it and whatever. But, you know, we could be really good at our own half at a couple of points where St Mirren were pressing us really effectively, and I thought we showed decent composure on the ball not to, to let them turn it over in those moments. But, you know, the fact that they were pressing so well and not letting us out their own half, I think that really says something for them. So, aye, Love Street, it's a difficult place to go, and St Mirren intentionally make it difficult. You know, we, I think the commentator on Sky Sports today said something along the lines that if Rangers want 3 points today, they're going to have to work for it. And, you know, Alan's saying there in the comments about St Mirren showing the energy that we lacked. I think that's right. We didn't have that urgency today, and they very much had it.
As in, it's an interesting point about Gogic. I do agree he was man of the match, like, hands down. Sky, incidentally, I've never seen Sky give man of the match to a player in the losing team. But I think it was Jai on Twitter says, watch him against Dundee, Aberdeen, Hibs, different player. And I think we've seen that happen before for SPAFL players. You know, it's that they can get up against Rangers or Celtic as a cup final. Doing it for 30 games a season is a different story. But Scott, I want to get your take on Dessers, and I know, like, and again, just, I'm not going to spark up the whole debate as, like, is who should we vote in January or who should we get in right. summer. I think as a podcast, we're united that we need better than Dessers.
Right.
Who that is up for debate. Like, we all agree is better than Dessers, but I was on the phone to my dad today after the game. You know, I get the text through the game, like, did you see that? Did you see that? Like, I was watching the same game. But then he phones me afterwards and tells me about how, like, none of these players were getting the 9-in-a-row team usual. But yeah, I'm going on a tangent here, but there's a point to it. Somebody typically quite negative about current Rangers teams, he made a really good point. Dessers is arguably on talent, our third choice striker behind Danilo and Kemar Roof. So for your third choice striker, and I know we can argue about the money we paid for him, but that's probably more a sign of the how our club was managed in the summer. For your third choice striker, he came in and scored 20 goals. It's not a bad return. And I think we, the reason I say this, people are in the comments are calling him shite, X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to say he's Ronaldo, but I think we need to remember the context of to what role he should have played for Rangers.
Aye, definitely. You mentioned the money. If it comes in as a free contract, you do not hear one peep out of me. But the fact is, he's my second biggest outlay in the summer after Danilo, you know what I mean? So, just the goods the last couple of matches, but I think before that, it was like 3 in 10 games or something like that he'd scored. So, that concerns me a bit, is the inconsistency of it. I like the way he leads the line. I've given him compliments on it in the past. I think since Clermont came in, there has been an upturn, and a big upturn in his performances in terms of his pressing and how he tries to lead and getting, like, being a presence up front. The only service he got today, to be fair to a big man, was Tav's cross for a winner. That's the only real chance we created it. And it's this kind of misconception Rangers fans have got to, well, we need to sign him because he'll score more goals because Rangers create more chances. Rangers play against low blocks nearly every other week. So how many chances do we actually make for strikers, do you know what I mean? So that's where my sympathy lies with Dessers. I've got to disagree with you. I don't think it would have come in as third choice. I think it was more of him and Danilo who was going to start. I don't think the manager's banked on
That's a fair point. Aye. And somebody in the comments has just said we don't pay that money for a third choice striker. But I think Danilo was the marquee signing that. I think it's
Definitely.
So would you still keep him as a second or a third choice striker next season? I'm asking you because I know you'll be one of his critics, and I know I think even I agree that Shanklin would have been a decent signing because he's a different type of striker. But on the basis that Rangers bring in more strikers in the summer, would you keep Dessers?
No. I'm sorry. I think with the rumoured interest, I think it was that Giovanni Di Marco guy on Twitter that broke that Torino and stuff were looking at Dessers in the last day of the season. I think because he's played in other leagues, I think there's a good chance that we're going to get with 4 million. back and you can move him on after wage bill. Kind of all lies with a manager, if I'm being honest. It's just, it's how, it's where we are financially and the outlay, and you're like, that's in Royal De Boer's article at the beginning of the season has not helped my opinion on the big man at all. But then I think De Boer's got obviously had it spot on. When he's good, he's good. When he's rubbish, he's rubbish. Obviously, I put that thing in the chat earlier on about Kelechi Iheanacho and Nacho as well. There's a Facebook rumour going about that we're after him. That's not really somebody you want. He's scored 5 in 22. Brian Hardy scored more goals on him this season. And the championship for a worse team. Just before we comment, Gareth, I am not saying Rangers sign Ryan Hardy, right? I'm just saying there's got to be a wee bit of context in the summer as to who we go and sign. We need a guaranteed goal scorer. Go and ring Cholak back. I'm a happy guy, Colin.
I know. I mean, this is a very handsome man, and Cholak is equally as handsome. So at least the Rangers calendars will still sell them out. Bill, I wasn't going to have a special Tav section, because I always like it. Every time we speak about James Tavernier, it's such a, there's a lot of good points coming for the comments. There's a lot of staunch defenders or staunch critics of them either way. Like, there's a lot of us who just have an opinion of Tavernier, never change for the good or bad. And then there's a fair bit of conversation in the middle. But I thought I wouldn't single him out today. It wasn't any better or any worse today than everybody else. But he's just been named Rangers Player of the Year Awards, which is already getting the Twitter comments going. I want to get both your thoughts on Tav in general this season. I'll be honest, I'm quite surprised that Jack Butland wasn't an automatic shoe-in for the Player of the Year.
The Tav's Player of the Year for me, I think. Goals, assists. I don't think he's been that bad defensively. I think we still are the best defence in the league, and Tav's played a part in that. He's not brilliant, you know, defensively, and he never has been, and we've all criticised him defensively at times. But Tav has dug us out of so many holes, you know. Tav keeps coming back for more. He never misses a game. He puts the ball in the net, not just for penalties, but loads. He sticks to the task in terms of what the manager's asking him to do. He did used to get forward a lot more. He's been a bit more cautious with that now under Clement. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, Tav should be exempt from criticism or whatever like that. He has bad games. He makes mistakes. Every footballer does. I've never really understood the level of Tav bashing and the support. He's just one of those players. We seem to have those players from time to time where he's Marmite, he's all sugar or all shit, as they say. And, you know, for me, I think he's a really, really good footballer. He's done a huge amount for the club. We'll miss him when he's gone. He's definitely, I'd say, he's player of the year. I'd say Butland's up there. You know, I wouldn't have been surprised if Butland did get Player of the Year. Turns out it's Tav, and you know, I think that's well deserved.
I think Giant Twitter says it's a toss up between goals and assists or saving games. I don't think it's a complete dark horse or outside favourite that outside runner, sorry, that Tavernier's won it. If it wasn't Butland, it's probably, you know, Seema for me before his injury was there. But I can see why Tavernier's got it with strong contributions, but 24 goals this season. Scott, I think you were probably the same as me, where you thought it was going to be nailed on Jack Butland.
Aye, definitely. See, Jack Butland's saving it. He's saved us 3 points. Like, he's got his, if St Mirren score out and go 2-1 up, you're maybe looking at a completely different result this afternoon. A worse mood amongst the Rangers support, I think it's fair to say. Butland wins it for me. Rangers are just on repeat just now in a lot of aspects in the club, in terms of how we're playing the park and just getting Tavernier the same award out year after year after year. I think Butland, I mean, the guy's been, he's been rumoured to be getting called up for the England squad and stuff. That's a level Jack Butland's been playing at this season. He's won his points on his Todd. Has he won his more points than Tav's cost us? Do you know what I mean? You could look at it that way. Tav's also won us a lot of points. Very good going forward. Good contributor as normal. But I think it was, I think it's a bit of a disgrace that Butland's not won it, if I'm being honest with you, Colin. I think he's been head and shoulders by far the best player in that squad. Even think about it back to the Motherwell game where we won 1-0. And Ibrox was toxic that day. And there was fans trying to stay back to speak to players when they were walking out of the bus at the end of the match. Tav's walking away, Goldson's walking away, they're all walking away. Jack Butland's stunning getting Rangers fans a time of day. It's not just about how you play in the park, it's about your standards of it as well to me. Do you know what I mean? And Jack Butland showed to me that day that he's of a certain standard of person, that it complements being a Ranger, to be brutally honest with you.
That's been, see, it's just an interest of balance. Butland's had a great season. And it's, when you're having a great season individually, it's easier to go out to the crowds. I hope Jack Butland never has a poor dip in form, but does he still do that when he's having a shocker as well? I'm not saying he does it, doesn't he? But again, you can only beat what's in front of you. He's no came up against that yet, but I'd probably just caveat that as well. Because, you know, like, there's a fine line between being brave and being the one to speak to the fans, and the other side of that is your Pedro Christina in a fucking hedge, you know what I mean? We've seen the worst part of that, but that's a memory I don't think I'd be casting up tonight, but here you go, that's what happens in the live streams. Right, Bill, I want to get your overarching feelings going into the last four games of the split, and I want to spend the rest of the pod talking, what does this actually mean? I put up my post-match reaction today, and you know that this is the art of the post-match reactions. It's immediate. It's what you immediately feel. You don't have time to make sense of it and actually articulate it properly. And quite often, what we say in the post-match completely different from what we say the next day. Fairly well laid out comment was saying I'm quite negative, and how the Rangers fans in general are probably a bit more negative than Celtic are in general, but I think that's just because we've won less things. It's only going to be natural. We've got the scar tissue. Four more of those wins most likely will win us the league. It will come down to goal difference, but four more dodgy wins should very well win us the league. But four more performances like that probably drop his points. Well, what's your overall feeling after the day?
I mean, this morning before we kicked off, there was 15 points available and there's now 12 points available. And Rangers and Celtic have both taken the 3 points today. I don't know. Can I see us winning every game? Not if we play like we did today. And I think Celtic are still going to drop points. You know, it's about us, can we capitalise if that happens? I don't want to be defeatist. I want to try and stay positive. I'm just finding it very, very difficult watching this Rangers team to believe that we can go out there and win all four of these games from until the end of the season. I do think we should beat Dundee. I do think we'll beat Hearts. The game at Parkhead, you never know what to think. You know, we've not actually beaten them at Parkhead since the 55 season. And at least I don't think we have. You know, it's the last couple of times. I mean, the last game at Parkhead, Clermont's first game over there, was close in the end because we kind of came back to 2-0 and got the goal, and we were the ones pressing all that. The game at Ibrox, the 3-3, we were an absolute shambles in the first half, and then we went toe-to-toe in the second half, and we were equally as good as them in that game, I would say. So I don't really know. It's so unpredictable at Parkhead, but I think that's what it's coming down to, because I do think we should beat the other teams. But, you know, famous last words. I watched Celtic's game today against Dundee. That's terrible, isn't it? It's only a couple of years ago, and I'm struggling to remember. But, and actually, they looked good. See, the first 15, 20 minutes, they looked really dangerous going forward. But they were pretty poor after that. And in the second half, they were woeful. Dundee were all over them. I think I texted you guys on just when Celtic scored their second goal today, saying something like, you know, Dundee have been all over them for the last 20 minutes, and then the buggers have just gone up the park and scored. But again, they're not playing great. They're not great shakes. And I think they could drop points. I can really see that happening. I do think the likes of Hearts can get something off them. But it's about us, and do we capitalise? We are equally as capable of dropping points, I would say. I think it's going to come down to the game at Parkhead. I need to stay positive and say that we're going to win that. And, you know, we'll get our treble. But, you know, looking at the... And not to think we're defeatist mentality, but looking sort of ahead to the end of the season, if we ended up with the two cups, I still think that's quite a good season, given, you know, how things were when Beale was here, sort of August, September. I mean, you know, we were just dreadful. I didn't have us winning anything. So, you know, two cups and running it right to the wire in a title race, I think is still a decent season, given where we came through.
Yeah. And, you know, it all depends on what context you put it in. Like, the context, you can put it in the light of, we were 2 points clear with a game against Celtic, to go 5 points clear, and we're now behind. But if you step it back to, say, the shambles we were in when Michael Beale left, you would have bit your hand off to have this situation going into the last four games. Scott, I think Bill's right. I think it does come down to Parkhead. I'll be honest, I see, with the Old Firm game, I see both Rangers and Celtic drop points. I know they've got the muscle memory of winning trophies, but when's the last time that group of Celtic players actually had to go down to the wire for the league campaign? You know, it's all fine and well saying they've won it at Cantors. It's a completely different mindset you need to have. It really is. We, you know, for the most part, Celtic probably do have more quality, definitely in depth, and more quality available right now. It does really come down to the Stones, and that's what this group of Rangers players really need to answer if they do want to have any chance.
I would need to agree with that, Colin. I would need to agree with that. I think Celtic are more culpable of dropping points at home than what they are away from home. I think everybody's kind of tuning into this Kilmarnock game. But I think we all know it's probably going to happen when they go to Kilmarnock. They're probably going to pick up their first winning season. I think they're going to drop their points at home more than away from home. They've been brutal at home all season. Their home record's not been good at all. That's probably where they've dropped their most points today. So we just need to take it a game at a time. As soon as we spank somebody and put a performance in, I'll start feeling a whole lot better than what I seen in the day. What I seen in the day was just mirror image of kind of same errors of Ross County and Dundee kind of performances. I still don't think we've quite turned the corner yet. I think the structure in the team's not right, which is why we're conceding so many chances. I mean, that was kind of unheard though when that winning run under come on kind of mid-season, you know what I mean? When we were pulling it back, we were playing good fit, but everything was 3-4 and everything was good. But I don't know, there's just something missing just now. I'm just hoping for the best, if I'm being brutally honest. Personally, I think the league's too far gone now for us. I think we can win our last four games, but in terms of clawing back a goal difference, there's five goals in it and there's four games left. That's a point in itself. Do you know what I mean? So we can go and win at Parkhead, but we're still going to get a job done. It's really hard to say. And I think missing Seema and Ridvan, these players are quite important to us. You need to think, it's not just a mentality thing. I think it comes down to having the ability as well. And I don't think we've got much ability just now with the players available.
That's a really, really good point. And I think we're very quick to jump on the mentality wagon about this group of players. And know what? They've gave us reason to do that. Right. But that almost papers over the footballing ability. I mean, no harm in him, sure, right? But we know it's tried and tested that he can do it consistently over a season. He's coming off the bench as your only option for left wing. And you're putting the right winger to left back to bring him on because we don't have another left back option. That is something we need to remember to. And again, we've been absolutely crucified with injuries, but I don't know. Bill, I suppose just the last word on it. Scott mentioned about that glorious run, the good old days, we'll call it, when we were springing balls about left, right and centre. John Lundstrom was channeling his inner Zidane, top of the league, winning in Europe. Life was good. We've not seen that in the last couple of weeks, but I spoke in the post-match reaction today that this team needs a catalyst to burst in the gear. Next Sunday against Kilmarnock, we're going to go through in much more detail on Thursday. If you can get up for your second last home game of the season, the week before the Old Firm, I'm hoping next week is the catalyst. It just sees Rangers go in. Like Scott's talking about, somebody needs a drop, and I don't care if it's Tessa that scores six off of six home goals. Someday, it's not just about the 3 points. I think we do need the performance as well.
I'd like to see the performance, but it is about the 3 points. You know, we need to get 3 points. We need a few goals, and I agree with Scott that the goal difference could be important, but let's first and foremost make sure that we get the 3 points, I think. I'm no confident that this team, this current group of players, with the imbalances that we've got and all of that, as Scotty touched on, I'm no confident of a scintillating performance unless there is some huge change between now and next weekend. You know, we played Hearts in the Cup semi-final and performed better than we've done recently. But even that wasn't great. And I thought we were okay because Hearts kind of came out a wee bit and actually expect us to kind of play slowly, and we started fast, which was good. And you know, if we can do that again, if we can start fast next week and maybe get an early goal or something like that, maybe that'll be a bit of a springboard for us. But right now, for me anyway, it's just about 3 points, however we can get them. And let's, you know, we're probably going to need somebody else to do us a favour now, so let's hope for that. But all that we can do is to take care of the 3 points, so let's make sure that that happens. If it's a good performance and 3 or 4 goals, then that's brilliant. I don't have any confidence that that's going to be the case.
Well, let us know what you think in the comments, folks. That'll probably bring us to a close for this week. Again, it's, well, we usually do try and, you know, look for the positives, but it's, you know, we speak about it all the time, about the fans and the players and the team having a connection. I think the fans have done a fair bit of heavy lifting this season, so it really is over the players to give us something back. But, you know, hopefully that does start on Sunday. If you like what you see, if you've enjoyed the podcast, it would help us massively if you can find us a like or a subscribe on YouTube, follow on Facebook, Twitter, or even the odd retweet here and there. Anything you can do, wherever you get the platforms, if you're listening back to it, use 5 stars on Spotify. It really does help us perform or grow, sorry. Aye, so any, we just broke the 2,000 subscriber mark as well on YouTube. Yeah, scroll us, scroll yous. So aye, funny as I like, folks. But let us know what you think in the comments, if we're way off the mark or if we're dead on. All that's left to do is thanks to my two wonderful guests this evening. It's been a pleasure, gents. First of all, Scotty Mack.
Oh, Colin, thanks for having me on again. Thanks for having me on again, mate. It's always good to be back in Hame Turf.
That's it. Well, can the listeners find more of you?
Rangers Journal tomorrow night, 6:30 for me. Positive title winning mentality part.
There we go. Get your fix tomorrow at 6:30. And Bill, thank you very much for coming on. It's always a pleasure, never a chore, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on tonight, Colin. It's been good. Thanks to everybody for tuning in and all your comments, particularly, I think it was Aldo, our Aldo the Sniper, who said, I've got the voice of an angel, which is really nice, because a few people have said things like that recently. I think somebody said a velvet voice, and I don't know, you go through your entire life hearing your voice recorded a lot, because I speak on radio and things like that for my job, and they do lots of things where I hear my voice recorded, and I've always hated the sound of it, but it's reassuring to know that no, everybody hates it and cringes at it the way that I do. So thank you for that. That's been really, really nice. Hopefully see or hear from some of you again through the week, just in terms of doing the daily news shows and stuff like that. But let's look forward to next weekend. You know, Scotty, I'll be tuning in to watch you on the journal for that positive title winning patter. And maybe some of that will rub off and just boost my confidence a wee bit. Cheers, everyone.
Yeah, and just on that, if you can send some of those compliments my way and see the Bills. I mean, Bill gets complimented on his shirts, his velvet voice. I get continuously told in comments I look like Shot Ad Valadze. I get told about my ever-growing forehead. A wee bit of love for your post.
It's a 5 feet new calling.
I know. So a wee bit of love for your host would go a long way. But hey, if it's between subscribing to the channel or taking the compliments, then subscribe and slag the fuck out of me all you want, listeners. But I think that's a lovely, somebody just said I have handsome ears. We're wrapping up. Thank you very much, folks, and take care.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.